Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and also welcome to the first episode of Season 3. A lot has happened in the break. We'll save it for chats with Stephanie, my now resident co-host. There's a lot to share, particularly for her, actually. What I will say, for now, I have missed this show. I'm looking deeply into the eyes of my guest. I've missed this show. I've missed talking to wonderful people like you. And the way I realised the extent of this was when I was over working at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Nobody could get past me without telling me about their dating life. Like, I had to know. And in hindsight, probably comes off real thirsty that I needed to assess everyone's situation. The reality, I just missed asking all these questions. So they just all were fully in my regular life. So I think for the sake of the public, it's good that I'm back in my podcast box. And our guest this week, wow, love. A comedian, writer, producer from Houston, Texas, now based in London, whose work centres Black cultural identity, mental health, sexuality, gender, can you see why I like this person, whilst using entertainment as a tool for empowerment. Please welcome the delightful Kima Bob.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, it's nice to be back with you. Yeah, and thank goodness you're off the streets. Thank goodness you're, oh my gosh. If I had a stranger asking me all sorts of questions, well, I might tell him. That's the risk. Then you become a danger to yourself because you get the wrong person on that hook. Oh boy, will they give it to you?
That is
now
very
you're just
fine.
Stuck. Yeah, be safe, man.
Thank you. Oh, it is good to be back. I mean, we're coming into this season with the exact same energy and honesty that I know about talking about dating. I even know about giving half-decent advice. But do I know about putting that into practice and making the right choices myself? Eek. Yeah.
That's so tough, isn't it? I feel like when you're outside of your own insanity, it's like a bit easier to be like, okay, I detect, you know, this hole, you're going to fall into that hole. There's some flags over there. But I think when it's your own thing and you're like in it, I don't know. I think I'm always just like, I fluctuate personally, I think, between like trying to make the best decisions for yourself and like whatever is going to happen is going to happen.
I've never quite thought of phrasing it that way, but I think you've hit on it right there, that my decision making is great as long as you remove me from the situation. So describe honestly, a dating story that doesn't involve me. I'll know what to do.
I can see it.
Yeah.
But the personal insight, I think that makes it like harder and trickier to navigate. But also, this is the key to figuring out like what you need to do. Because the same way an outside person won't have the like rose-colored glasses or whatever of your situation, they also won't have the insight into probably your like childhood patterns or whatever that are making you do this as well. So ultimately, the only person that can really, really help you in any situation is you.
Yeah. And isn't that just a trick of therapy that you have to learn like about yourself and also how to be less like yourself at the same time?
So fun. Such a great time. Yeah. Oh, it's really fun to like essentially be paying someone to like decipher you.
Give you your own problems.
Yeah. And be like,
here they are. What do you reckon we should do? Yeah. I do love it though.
It's a good time. Oh, I'm going to do it forever. I've had someone say to me recently that they felt like they completed therapy. And I was like, yeah, I'm sure that's a feeling that you felt, but is that possible? Like, I was like, I feel like if anything, you'd put it on pause because to be done, I don't know if I believe in to be done.
Yeah, that is the real shit. I recently graduated therapy, and yes, that is how I say it because it sounds fancy.
But did you graduate? Like, did you finish your allotted course of treatment? Who decided that you graduated?
Well, here's where it falls apart, because I decided. But I had open-ended, like, private counselling, and it got to a point where I realized like I had worked through a lot of shit. I mean, it took 4 years.
Yeah.
So this isn't an easy success story. And, you know, it got to the point where a lot of the time I was catching up with my counselor and just kind of recapping things that I'd already solved. At which point you're maybe you're just like another person in my life. I'm telling things to like a friend. Mm-hmm. Like maybe I have worked past some of this stuff. And so, yeah, she seemed to be on the same page with it. I think she was going to initiate the conversation if I hadn't. And of course, you know, let's be clear. You're right. It is a pause because I'm going to end up going back at some point, you know.
For some reason.
But for now, I'm trying to be the adult. I'm trying to be my own parent and see how that goes.
Yeah. It sounds very reasonable. I had a moment, actually, and I realized, like, one of my friends phrased it this way. I say that to take the responsibility from myself of the phrasing. But one of my friends was like, yeah, at this point, your therapist is like your mom, but if she would actually listen to you. And I was like, yeah. Because I realized recently I've been like feeling, I don't know if relaxed is the word, but feeling kind of.
I have to laugh there just because that's relatable content to me right now.
I'm like, is
relaxation? Can someone else define it for me? Because
I'm
don't know.
I'm confused by it. Because honestly, it does feel like any time that I'm feeling like actually not very stressed, there's a small part of me that feels like there's a fire somewhere. I just forgot that I need to put it out. And it's just like, but where is the fire? And basically, I was going to ask my therapist, like, about this feeling or whatever, like, if she... And then I realized, like, we were running out of time in the session, and we were talking about other much more important things. But on this note, on this topic of relaxation, I realized I was about to ask her for permission to chill and that I could just give that to myself. And I was like, she's not actually your mom. Like, you are the adult of this body and mind and soul. Like, you are the captain of this ship, actually. You don't need to get a thumbs up from this person to be like, yeah, man, chill, see how it goes.
That is a fun breakthrough. I love that. Points right there. And also, that kind of circles us back to dating, because I think we have this in common where it's not always that easy to trust a good dating scenario. Mm. So even if you're trying to make half-decent choices, then you find yourself in something that's going okay, and you're like, okay, I've got to be chill. But also,
but
what if it all
fire?
Goes to shit? I can't do nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Where's the fire? It's this weird mix. So recently, I've been interested in non-monogamy for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I never get into it because I usually start from like a clean slate, by which I mean seeing absolutely no one. Like, I'm not one of those people who, and like, shout out to them. I think you're very cool. I'm proud of you, been able to pull it off. But I'm not one of those people that has like an on and off person, whether that be like a serious on and off person or like someone that I've just been like fucking for years and we just bone. Like, I don't have that. So generally when I'm clean slating, like I am clean slating. And so that means I'm going into dating with like, no entanglements or attachments, maybe looking to non-monogamously get involved with like a couple of people or a few people. But generally what happens is I get into one thing and then I just get very like single-minded about that one thing, that one person. And recently I was clean slating. I started seeing one person. And then another person came, you know, almost out of nowhere and was like, I'd like to, you know, see you. And I was like, oh, shoot, let's investigate this fun moment. And it was like, yeah, it was a fun moment. And it was interesting, like, seeing how I felt about each of these people and not in like a comparative sense. But in a what did each person bring out of me sense, and I found that to be interesting. And also, I guess in a comparative sense, going, huh, this person has this quality. Say this person is introspective and can speak to me almost philosophically, and I really enjoy having conversations on that level, you know, and this person is more into activism and things like that, and certain, I guess, aspects of my, like, personality or what I care about. And we can talk about other things or whatever, and there's, like, this fire. There's a very primal, like, passion here, and that's fun as well. And, like, after not very long of this, say, like, a month or so of this, both of the relationships fell apart within, like, a week of each other. And one was due to, I guess, like, basically me meeting someone where they weren't in the place to meet me, if that makes sense. So me meeting someone at a time when I'm open to, like, deep, substantial whatever, mm-hmm. and them not being in the place to be able to go there, which is kind of, like, my thing. that's my shit. And the other relationship kind of fell apart because of larger circumstances. So the person I was seeing, I want to say it in the way they basically had, they were seeing someone before me. They were also non-monogamous, and their relationship ended. But unexpected events brought them back together and essentially made them, like, basically made them feel like the best course of action was to get back together. And I don't think that ended up working out, but I went from seeing two people and having a fun, sexy time to seeing no people. Yeah, and I don't know if that's a fun story, but it is a true story.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
And before I started seeing these people, I was like, oh, you're 28. What are you thinking about in life right now? Like, what's on the menu for you? And I was like, I think a deeper understanding of, like, self-love. Mm-hmm. And I think I was trying to explore that, trying to figure out what that is. But I think two things. One thing is that sometimes when we love other people, and, you know, we can say love, like, we understand that it doesn't mean, like, I was in love with these people or something. But I think, like, you know, love happens on many levels. And when you're exchanging energy and time and care, you know, that is an act of love. And I think the way that we give energy and time and care to other people is a huge reflection on the way that we love ourselves. And then also sometimes when we're in romantic situations or we're exchanging, it can remind us about things about ourselves that we maybe don't love on so much or that we forget to love. And oftentimes those exchanges can circle us around self-love, can take us away from our understanding of self-love, but can drop us back off at ourselves ultimately. Because at the end of all that, you know, that's what you do have is you and anything that you've picked up in those exchanges. Yeah, and it felt like I learned a lot.
Good. Yeah. Ugh. No, I mean, it sounds a lot, bless you. And for them to end so quickly. Also, I have to pause on the one that broke up with you because they wanted to get back with somebody else that they just had a breakup with. The maths does not really add up for me there. Like, that so ended. So you're like, okay, I'll end something else and that'll help that one not be ended. That seems like a way to reach zero.
Basically, the struggle with the math in that situation is it involves pregnancy, which really does clear up a lot of the math. Okay. Essentially,
the plot thickens.
Yeah, the plot doth thicken. And so I think for me, the question posed to me by that person became, would you like to still be involved with me or this in any way? And I had to take a second to really go, no, this is, because the first relationship ended because I knew that I wanted or was starting to feel more deeply for this person than maybe the conversations that we've had. So I there's a day where there are these acts of service, and I didn't realize how much acts of service like meant to me, basically. And I was like, oh, that's really like landed. And I was like, oh, that's, I feel quite warm and fuzzy about that. I feel like cared for by this person, and that's going to make me feel a bit deeper. So I chatted to them. I feel like I sound like a robot at the moment, but I think I'm trying to do a good job of like being true to myself and my story, and also honoring the like privacy and identities of these two people.
Yeah.
And I think that's always it.
I get it. So I mean, I have it the same way on the show.
That's why I sound like fucking R2-D2 or whatever. Like, I'm just like, and respect the boundary.
But yeah, you're going for really academic about it. But I'm the same when I talk about things on the show, and I'm trying to like find the nuance of like, be honest about it, but also don't, like, what if they hear it? And like, I maybe have to change a few details, anonymity. And like, it's a lot. It's a lot to calculate as you're telling a story.
I think it's honor all around, isn't it? Because it's like, I don't want to not be true to myself and what we're meant to be doing here, like exploring these things. And I think if you were to fabricate or falsify, you know, I think that is a disservice to me, but also, you know, everyone else who's like sharing this with us or whatever as well.
Something I have to ask you about on this, because I think we'll be on the same page. Do you have that thing where you get conscious of not only how invested you can get in somebody, like you can get kind of laser focused on something at times, but also like how quickly that can change? Like, and it's not necessarily you, it's like the world, circumstances change. And then I sometimes feel like, particularly talking about stuff publicly, you're like, oh, I want to be authentic to like, I was really into this person a few weeks ago, but also be authentic to I'm moving on and looking after myself. And like, it almost feels like a weird betrayal sometimes, because it's like both things are true.
I know what you mean. I find myself to think about people way beyond when I wish I would. So maybe, basically the opposite of what you're saying, where like you should have moved on. Should, such a loaded word, isn't it? I find that sometimes it does take me a while, but I think it's because I'm always trying to get the like lesson out of it, or get what is this showing me about me out of it, and to understand that. And I think sometimes the like feeling of that, the feeling that you've attached to a person, everything that you've projected onto a person, which might not even be them, I think it's easy for me to conflate that with the larger emotional situation. So with these previous two things, something that it highlighted to me, which is so basic, I was almost disgusted at how basic it was, but I found that I have a tendency to be attracted to either people who are like emotionally distant, unavailable, underdeveloped, which is very my dad, or people that are very like, have like complicated stuff going on, or are so wrapped up in their own like drama or situations or emotions or whatever that they like can't be as there for me as I need, even like if they want to, which is like very my mom. And the basicness of this, the 2 + 2 = 4 of this, absolutely disgusts me. But I saw those, you know, archetypes in both of the people that I was dating. And then, you know, it brought up all this stuff that I needed to address, like with my parents, I've been dealing with for years. And so the kind of mourning of like the relationship stuff that could have been, that sadness or that like pain or whatever, just kind of morphed into the pain of being upset that my parents fucked me up and now I'm fucked up and I have to fix it.
Yeah. And that's the kicker, right? Like, that's the tricky bit, because I think often you get out of a relationship, and exactly, like, you can get wrapped up in like, okay, what is the lesson here? You want to get something from it. And I think the tendency is we look to that person of like, you know, they've got to give me the closure. The answer is in something they did or a conversation we had, and not the kind of harder stuff, which is, okay, like, why did I put myself in this situation in the first place? Like, a lot of the time, 1,000%. The answer is that early on. But if we examine that, that's where the work is. Like, that's the stuff we have to work on. Whereas, oh no, that person was a shit. It's handy to think that way.
Oh, that's so easy, isn't it? That's the thing. And like, so both of the people I was dating, I would say like too like lovely, right? And in both of the situations, in the first situation where the person wasn't able to be like emotionally there in the way that would have been useful to me quite early on, because I think my communication skills are quite on point. We had a conversation where they revealed to me that like they were still dealing with the trauma of a previous breakup. So I had that insight and I was like, okay, cool. We'll deal with that if it comes up, when it comes up. Oh, and it did. And then
them bringing it up was probably it coming up.
Yeah.
And you're like, it'll be fine. We'll figure it out. I've done loads of therapy.
Cool. Yeah, because I asked and I was like, yeah, what space are you in? And this person told me. And I think what I'm missing is that bit where you see the flag and then you go, that's dangerous. We should just not, instead of being like, I'll keep that in mind, or like, that's a small flag, or I'm very empathetic and I'll be like, oh, well, that's a very unfortunate that you went through that situation and now it's made you this way.
I need to jump in. I've got skills. I'll
get involved.
Yeah, I relate to this hard.
Maybe we can fix and or deal with this together. But I think there has to be some
we have to pause on that. Coming from the same person that's like, I only realise that like I'm responsible for my own decisions and self, rather than your therapist. But you're like, I'll be responsible for everyone else's.
Don't worry, we got this. It's insane. It's insane. I think there has to be some kind of like self preservation, but I think what you've just said is so ding as well, because it's like, who do you think you are? And what I learned from one of the people I was seeing was that sometimes people's inner world, their issues, their conflict is so much more than we can fathom, let alone like have the audacity to think that we can handle. Like, sometimes what people deal with quite serious things that they might not be aware of, that you might not be aware of, you know? And so I think that was something that has like come to me out of the situation, which is just like your idea of what someone else's like mental landscape is when you're like volunteering to like go in and fucking patch up the holes or the cracks or whatever the fuck. Like, you have no idea what's going on in there.
Or if they want to deal with it, because a lot of the time I've been in those situations and they don't, and they resent you.
Yeah, if they
Or it goes well, you know, you do support each other in growing, but then they resent you because there's a power imbalance that can be created. Or, you know, the main one, I think, is real slippery slope towards codependency. Because often it's not that you think you can fix that person, but you've grown up in a way or you've had past relationships where you've earned your place in people's lives via emotional service to them.
It's really interesting. I grew up with like one parent who was very like open about how they were feeling and another that wasn't. And I think I mistook my mom's being very open about how she was feeling. I think there's a...
Well, they were kind of like two extremes, right? That she was too open, you were like hearing all her problems that a child shouldn't be, and then you weren't getting anything at all like that from your dad.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that also for a while I was like, being really in touch with your feelings is a great thing. And I think it is, but there are levels of being in touch and of understanding. Like, for instance, you know, some of us will know that like stress and anxiety and anger and jealousy and these different things that we view as negative a lot of the time can be used to help us to identify a sore point, something that we need to heal, or even straight up a problem, you know, like you can follow it to be like, what's going on? And I think without that level of maybe understanding of being able to process your emotions, you just end up kind of dumping them and spewing them around on your child.
Yeah. And then that plays out then in the dating world where you're just like, oh, it's a lot of adult children wandering around and we'll see how that
and you goes. Go, oh, yeah. Oh, this person has a lot going on. Well, I'm used to dealing with people that have a lot going on. I'm sure this will be fine. And I think what I find myself to be missing is more, self-preservation. And to be like, no, hot stove, right? To be like, emotionally unavailable man is hot stove. Stop touching the hot fucking stove, dude.
Yeah. Literally. But then you're like, okay, but it's also a familiar danger. So I know how to handle it when it all blows up in my face. So you can...
So you think, wearing your fucking genius costume.
Well, this is me speaking from my own experience, because you talked about like your pattern with your parents. The disappointing pattern I had to look at was like me having a lot of new relationships which just resembled old relationships. It was like the same few tropes of people that I kept going with. And then it's like, it's actually not about any of them. It's about me, and it's me trying to like fix one shitty situation via another.
I'm going through a conventionally attractive phase. I don't mean, well, maybe I do mean within my body, but I mean like the people that I'm choosing to get entangled with. I mention it because I think there's something to be said about the idea, and I've discussed this with some of my friends, of feeling hot through proximity to hotness.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
And being like, this person is undeniably hot. If I am with them or if I fuck them, then that must make me undeniably hot. All we're doing is math here. And I think that's fascinating. And I think it's sick. And I'm really like interested in that, because I don't think I've ever really dated people that I didn't find attractive. But I think the difference may be seeing people that other people are like, oh, and I'm like, right. There's all sorts of sick shit happening.
I love this. And before we start to wrap up, because I could talk to you all day, but we are sadly running out of time. Tell me this. So being out in the dating world, being around the chaos, we've talked about it before. Mm. Give me some highlights. What sort of crazy dates have you ended up on? Because I know there's lists.
Sorry. There's just a melting about it. I mean, sometimes fun things happen. Like you date someone who's like a musician, and then you end up going to like a launch party for their new music project. But then, you know, you get COVID and you go, what an adventure, you know? You're like, this is very being single in 2020. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, in this decade, I think I'm excited And recently I saw this horoscope thing. Do you know the app The Pattern?
I do know about The Pattern.
Oh my God.
Avoid it because it kind of scares me. Like, I don't know if astrology is real, but I just know that The Pattern creeps me out.
It's so serious. It's told me something that recently, this is going to open up a window to me. It told me something that recently, don't compare your experiences in dating to anyone else's. Like, you're meant to have your own shit. Like, enjoy, basically how I interpreted it was like, enjoy the weird and wonderful possibilities for yourself. And I think that we're all meant to do that. Like, we're not supposed to be like, oh, these people are married by this age or these people are in this relationship. I think, like, for better or for worse, we all have our own, like, interesting things that, like, we're into. And I do kind of mean that in a somewhat kinky way. But, like, we, you know, I think we all, there's so much potential for what we can do romantically, sexually, and otherwise. And I feel like if you feel inclined to explore the, like, width of that, you know, the breadth of that, whatever fucking these words are, then, like, I don't think we should, I don't know, be like, oh, but life is supposed to be like blah, 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 blah. Like, we're in uncharted territory. These are unprecedented times.
Yeah. And look, if ending up making content out of your checkered dating past has taught me anything, there is something to be said for having interesting stories.
Like, oh,
I'm glad of them. You know, as crazy as some of it is, you can laugh in hindsight. Also, another thing I know that I remember The Pattern telling you, which is also a very real place for me right now, is it said that you're going to have a lot of relationships, your best ones later in life. And I've also been having that feeling.
I'm just like, you know, a part of what I've felt recently romantically is, am I even the person that I must be, like, need to be for the big love or the big loves? And I think at the moment, I'm trying to be more of a hoe. And I think that's fun. Like, I would like to, I want to have, like, fun sexual experiences. And
well, maybe that's your answer. You hoe it up now, and then you kind of circle back when everyone else has worked on themselves as well, and then maybe there'll be better choices. Get the divorcees, get the second round.
Yeah, honestly, I recently boned a man. I'm gonna do this math. Oh my God, it's so hard. What is math? Okay.
You can really get existential about anything, can you?
I'm like, adding up. What is math?
What is it?
It's so hard. What is it? Okay, so I had sex with a man who's like 14 years older than me, which I'm 28, so that would be like early 40s vibes. And there was something that felt so, like, naughty. It's not like an old man. Do you know what I mean? But he's like an older man. I'm like, And like, I don't know. That was fun. And that was hot. And like, is there some daddy issues shit in there? Most likely, yes. Did I have a nice time? Yeah. So I think I'm just like leaning into the fullness of like what's possible. What's possible? Fucking older dude. But I mean, just leaning into
radical.
Like,
nobody's tried it.
Yeah, no one's done it before. No one's heard of it. But just like, I don't know, exploring while doing my best to not like hurt myself, you know?
That's what we all want.
She's just a sensitive flower.
And on that note, let's start wrapping up with our rules of the game. So as a sensitive and wise flower, would you have a rule you'd recommend trying to live by in dating and relationships? What bit of advice would you have for the listeners?
Oh, Oh, fuck. I'd say, I feel like such a hypocrite. Slow down and check in. Like, slow down and check in with yourself first, also with that person. But, like, I think it can be really easy to get swept up in the feelings of things, the fun ones, the not so fun ones. And when, you know, it can be easy to, like, lose your head or to forget, like, what's best for you or what you actually think, what you actually feel. And sometimes if you, like, slow down, give yourself, you know, some time away from that person to think and to check in with yourself and go, hey, yeah, that's it. Slow down and check in. Ugh.
I love that.
Ew. It's so hard to do.
It is. It's so, so tricky. Easy to say. Horrible to do. And I have...
Honestly.
I have one that I think will apply for both of us, which is not to judge yourself if ethical non-monogamy does not kind of go to plan, because I have also been exploring it. And, you know, I've learned a lot from it. One of the big things I've learned is that a lot of people are in it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, you know, a lot of selfishness.
A lot of people that, I mean, a lot of couples that think... maybe this will fix our relationship. A lot of people whose sex lives have dried up and they're like, maybe we make that this other person's problem. There's a lot of people that are like, just fuck boys. And they're like, oh, but I get to be ethically non-monogamous. That's the branding I'm going to put myself under. And they forget ethical is one of the words there. So,
that's so true.
So I guess my rule there is... yeah, don't judge yourself, because there's a lot of factors at play, and it's difficult and it takes a lot of practice. And so right now for me, I'm like, I'm open to open relationships. I think I'm going to hold off trying to stack them and be in multiple relationships, like one thing at a time.
Yeah, I support that. I support that so much. And I feel like sometimes the reasons that we think are right, like, I want to challenge the way that I see relationships and the way that I see attachment and things like that. Is that a good reason to foray into ethical non-monogamy? Like, is that a good reason? I don't know, but we're going to find out.
All right. Well, we will wrap up there. If people want to find your wonderful work, you have your own comedy show that also has a podcast version. I'm gonna give that a plug.
That's true, my child. Basically, I just feel like it's possible to have a comedy space that's like funnier, but also softer and a bit kinder. So I created a space called the Films of Color Comedy Club, where we platform comedians of color. And we do live shows in London. And we also have a podcast where you can hear stand up from these dope artists and also get to know them a bit better.
Yeah, including such gems as Kima talking about how invested she was in these two relationships, and then two episodes having to address the breakups.
Oh my gosh, it's hilarious. It's hilarious as well, because I think, like, I just really want to be myself. It's just so funny when you record yourself, as you know, and have to listen to the reality of who you are and just, like, radically share that. And it's just like, I was listening back to it and I was like, oh, I sound so excited. Oh, adorable.
Bless her. She didn't know.
She still doesn't.
All right. Well, thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening.
For the full experience, you can join our subscription on Apple Podcasts to access extended ad-free episodes. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta.
The music is Digital Damaged by me, Emma Becco.
We're proud to be an independent production.
And leaving a quick review is another way to support the show.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at freestylelibre.us.